Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 6. Let us read again at verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the posts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it on me, and said, This hath touched thy body, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. By the voice of the Lord, whom shall I send? Here am I, send me. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of him. Isaiah of the Old Testament of Judah. And he repeats his prophecy that he sees sitting on a throne. Actually see. In God's word. No, I've seen God. And we read in Exodus chapter 3 and 5, where God speaks to Moses, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. But then on the other hand, we do read, Jesus himself says, You're in they shall those who are holy. And passages. Manifest glory, such as blessed are the pure in heart, seek this. And that's what I. Filled way Isaiah sees it is general in all manifestations of God was the Son of God himself. Saw and spake of him. So Isaiah, the Messiah, sitting upon a throne in his mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he says in the beginning of the chapter, I also saw the Lord. And the word Lord is in the following. Jehovah, as it is when the word Lord is in all capital letters. The word in the Hebrew is Adonai, meaning the ruler, the almighty ruler, to whom everything is subject and to whom man is related as a servant. This is the glory. The whole earth. And the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah's reaction: woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I. Holiness of God. And then he looks back upon himself. He realizes. He is vile. Unclean. He sees his sin. Of the holiness of God brings him to reflect upon himself with horror and dismay. He cannot truly perceive. Acknowledges his sin. Not ourselves. I loathe myself. I loathe myself because of my sin. In here. Thou forgiven, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy is taken away, and has purged. And the of forgiveness results as. When he had a glimpse and a view of the holiness and majesty of God. Because I am a man of unclean lips, here is the response of Isaiah the prophet. And in the third place, the removal of sin by the sacrifice. It was with a live coal from off the altar that his lips were touched and taken away. It is the removal of sin by the sacrifice. First of all, the holiness of the Lord of hosts. Secondly, the response of Isaiah the prophet. And thirdly, And may the Lord give us a renewed sense of sin, plead to Christ for refuge, the blood that cleanseth from sin. Essential perfection, such that without these divine characteristics, he would not God if he would. The attributes of God are the essential and absolutely. Or nature. Again, this is John. Absolutely inseparable properties of essence or nature. Dabney says that the attributes of God are the permanent or essential qualities of his nature, which he has made known to us in his word. And God makes qualities as well in his providence. Creation displays it. Existence of again, they are traits, qualified, making it the name. The attributes revealed in the book of Exodus by Moses and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Here are three attributes of God: his self-existence in the Lord, and his goodness, that is, mercy. Thousands forgiving iniquity and transgression. And then his justice is revealed to us when he is clear the guilty, visiting and upon the children's children, the third and to the fourth. God also just. God is a spirit, infinite, attributes, no one else but God, and eternal and unchangeable. And what follows are the. There is some resemblance of the creature in. And that is. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And power. And holiness. And truth. Again, the shorter catechism of the attributes of divine perfections with God is a spirit and unchangeable in his being, goodness, and truth. And the holiness of God is one of his attributes. Perfection. Holy, holy, holy. Now the word holy originally has the idea of And God is transcendent. Above and beyond the limits of time, of human knowledge, here is an infinite separateness that is essential to God. There is a vast difference between the Most High and created beings. 9, we read in verse 6, be compared unto the Lord. Among the sons, be unto the Lord. There is no such a vast, infinite distance and created beings. We see this eternity of God as we in 57, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, holy. Yes, there is this infinite God in the creature, seen in the eternal. Were brought forth, or ever thou didst form the earth and the world, everlasting. Thou art God, the eternity of God. Is eternity, is His in respect of time, infinity, in the sense of not determined by time. It is an eternal. Has been defined as that perfection of God whereby He is elevated above all temporal limits, all succession of moments, and He possesses in one indivisible present. What a vast difference in us, eternal existence of God. In this we see His transcendent excellence. And we see Him, or Isaiah, this vision as revealed in God's Word, the Lord, the Almighty Ruler, sitting upon a throne. He is the King. That's what Isaiah says. Mine eyes have seen the King. A king has authority. He is superior to subjects beneath him. He is the King of Kings. He says all power is given. Verse 15, we read about an only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He is high. The throne is high. And a mighty ruler who has all things under His. And man is related to Him as a servant and must render holy, holy. What else do we read? He is the Lord sitting upon a throne, and His train filled the temple. The temple, there is a reference to the temple in Jerusalem. But it is not of that Jerusalem temple. It's His skirts of His royal robe fills the temple. It goes down bottom of the temple and is spread upon. Here is the evidence of more than ordinary majesty. Here is the transcendent separateness of God. He is holy. Connection between God and created beings. Even above it, above the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. These are the seraphim, brilliant messenger of God. The word is the seraphim, and it simply means their zeal. They are God, and also the fact that they execute God's judgments upon evildoers, bring wrath upon those. The brilliant, flaming messengers of God, purity and power of the heavenly court. In prophetic vision, and they receive temporarily these mixed forms. They have six wings, and they are symbolical of certain traits of obedience, intelligence, strength, and swiftness, which they show as messengers or ministers of God's providence and worshipers of the upper sanctuary. The seraphim, six wings. With twain he covered his face. With two wings he covered his face. The seraphim recognized God's holy majesty and felt a vast distance from God. They had this profound reverence toward the Most High. And then they covered their feet as well, out of the same recognition of God's is the vast disproportion between them and God, yet they must still do God's will. Yes, they are. Majesty of the Lord. God. That is to cry for the Lord. One cry Spirit, Paul's speaking the word of the chapter. The Lord says, send and be for us. The thrice holy God in one Godhead. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the Lord of hosts, it is the same as the Lord of Sabaoth that we read of in the book of James. Sabaoth, literally, the Lord of hosts. Sabaoth means hosts. The Lord of hosts. What kind of host? A host of chariots? What kind of host is revealed? Angels accompany. John is surrounded by his. Surrounded by his servants, the kingdom is surrounded. Lord of the host of angels. They attend. They are his messengers to carry out the will of God. So the Lord of hosts tells us that God is the King of glory, who is surrounded by angelic hosts, who rules heaven and earth. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? God rules over all the earth and arranges all things and directs all things for the benefit of his people. He is as Jehovah to Moses, and all that he does for his people. Ander states that the words may have reference not only to the present, but to the future. The whole earth will be full of his glory in the better days, implying that the judgments that were about to be announced against the Jews should be connected with the general spread of God's glory. Yes, the time was coming when not only the Jews would be exiled in Babylon, but in 70 AD. We believe the time is in. Knowledge of the glory of the Lord will not only is the master God. They veil their faces and their feet, though they have a work to do. And the very cry of the angels, moved at the voice. The margin where we read, the post of the door was moved. The door is also, can be translated the thresholds, and that is the generally accepted translation. And thresholds shook the bases. Such was the cry of the wolf. Then we read that the smoke filled the house. More of the idea, we believe, of the separateness of God. It is the smoke of the fire that... or the smoke, as we have in the... transcendently... And verse 2, we read, this is Hannah, none holy as the Lord. None holy as the Lord. Holiness of God and the idea of this coming together. In verse 9 we read, for I am God and not man. Not man, though. Yes, he is pleased to be, to dwell. Verse 15, we think of the nature of God and approachable presence, who is the blessed and only only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Thomas Watson says, no angel in heaven can take the just dimensions of God's holiness. The highest seraphim are too low of stature to measure it. Holiness in God is far above the holiness that is in saints or angels. The infinite separateness of God, the holiness. Negatively and positively. And positively is the rectitude, the divine nature. Positively, the holiness of God, rectitude, greatness of the divine nature. Perfect love of righteousness. Again, and his when we read, purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on an And each person in the Godhead infinitely delighted. Perfections and in everything agreeable to the divine will. Perfect hatred and abhorrence of everything contrary to the divine will. Here is the infinite moral purity of God. He is altogether free from unrighteousness. The manifestations of his infinite moral purity, the holiness of God. The manifestations of this book. We see that in the creation of the angels themselves. They were created holy. Later on, some of them fell away. But in Psalm 103 and verse 20, we read, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." They were created holy, and therefore they obey the voice of the Lord. They're not like sinful men going astray as sheep. The angels constantly obey God. And God created them that way. God himself is the fountain of holiness to all his creatures. Created beings derive their holiness not from themselves, but from God, who is the fountain of life as well as the fountain of holiness. And we see the manifestation of the holiness of God in the creation of man. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29, the preacher says, it was God's work to make man upright. God, the Holy One, created man holy. God created man in his image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Day, they have a conscience, and they have a love of sin, and that's why they write the lyrics that they do. But don't think they never experience the terrors of conscience, because they still have a conscience. Even the Greeks, the unclean Gentiles, had a conscience. And originally, God wrote the law of God on the heart of man, so that man might obey God with holiness. And so we see the manifestations of God's love of holiness. not only in the creation of angels and man, but in the constitution of the person of Christ, in the perfect moral purity of Christ. We see God's holiness in His Son, Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, always did those things that pleased the Father. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. The Lord Jesus said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" He had no sin. He knew no sin. He could commit no sin. He was perfectly, absolutely holy. In this we see a manifestation of God's delight in righteousness, His perfect, His infinite purity. But negatively, we see the hatred of God of sin. He has a perfect, unpolluted freedom from all sin. And we see the detestation of sin. We see that in His providential procedure. And of course, notorious offenders in this life. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 2. Obstinate, wicked offenders. God spared not the old world. This is verse 5. But saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. A whole world was deluged, showing God's abhorrence of sin. And He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example. Afterwards, the ungodly sin. We see that in the expressions of God towards sin. What God hates, He gives expression towards that hatred. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evil that is born. With a necessary and inveterate hatred. We cannot hate sin more at one time and less at another. God hates sin constantly. In Amos chapter 5 and verse 21. Smell in your solemn assemblies. And then in Psalm 5 and verse 5 we read, the foolish in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Think of that once again when you see. I hate God says, "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Hate sin. He gives expression of his detestation of sin. In Jeremiah chapter 44 and verse 4. Safety from the wrath to come, God will finally cast them into hell, in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment is sent up. On the cross, "My God, my God." His own Son. Why does the Lord Jesus? Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, thou art holy. That's why the Lord Jesus said, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, because thou hast sins upon us." The Lord Jesus Christ, when he stands in the room of the place of guilty, cannot be exempt from suffering. The only way to escape the punishment is to burn. Thank you. is not necessarily holy in that it is a bare and simple necessity, just as the sun must shine, or that fire must shine. But it's a free necessity. He is not compelled to it. From the fullness of the perfection of his own nature and will. And you see, friends, holiness is the luster of all God's attributes. Yes, as Fisher's Catechism says, God puts peculiar honor on his own holiness. He singles out his holiness as the attribute to swear by. And his threatenings. Psalm 89, verse 35. Once on my hands, upon the holiness of God, do we take time to seek a glimpse of it? Here is the transcendent separateness of God, whereby he is infinitely superior to all created beings. Love of everything that is agreeable to his will. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. This little branch manager begins to feel. purged. And purging here, the original word, is cover or atonement. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin atoned for. And atonement is through the blood. The blood covers the sin. A screen is thrown up between the eye of God and the sinner's guilt. This is covered. Of the contrite ones, how thankful we should be that though he is infinitely transcendent, there is this vast disproportion between us and God, yet he is pleased to dwell among sinners, even the rebellious ones who have a contrite and broken heart because of their sin. Finally, have you not known any of these experiences that Isaiah had? Then you should be praying earnestly, Lord, show me myself. Show me my black heart. In order to see my need of Christ, I need to see my sin. In order to see my sin, I need to see thy holiness. Lord, show me thy justice, thy holiness, thy greatness, that I might see my sin. And, O Lord, show me thy mercy, because thy holiness and thy mercy are reconciled in the death of Christ. Thou art both just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. And one cried unto another, the angels, the seraphim, the burning, brilliant messengers of God, cry one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. May he bless his word.